You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto and we are glad you're joining us this fine evening. How are you doing, Art Factora?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Steve. You?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing better than the coach of the Vancouver Canucks today,
oh,
I guess.
Twitter is a fire.
It is. It's just, it's, well, oh well. Yeah.
Remember when you had to bitch and complain at the water cooler at your office, and the only people who could hear you were the three people who cared enough?
Now you get to share it with everybody.
Yeah, if you're a huge Canucks fan and people follow, you can tell thousands of people.
Yes, yes.
How indeed. Happy or unhappy you are about every move.
Yes, and people move to that immediately. I have to. I think I almost owe you an apology because there's been some fallout.
What?
I have to say there's been some fallout.
Uh-oh.
Over last week's App Wednesday show.
Because
here's what happened. I was at Hootsuite yesterday. I dropped into the Hootsuite offices.
Okay.
And Connor was there, who is, of course, the defending champ who didn't come last week.
Right.
He's going to come back next month.
Okay. He started to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, because apparently Rebecca has been just, she's been kind of walking around.
I'm Facebook friends with Miss 604,
and she's pretty proud of it.
Yeah, she didn't even mention my honorable mention.
She didn't. She just she's pretty much all of that in a can of beans right
Peacock
now.
Peacock feathers and everything.
Yes, yes, yes. And looking at the apps, thinking about it, the neon sign app that mm-hmm. you came up with, the Vancouver
Invisible
one,
Invisible City
might have been the best app that was brought up. But you know what it's kind of like. And what made me think about this was watching the hockey game last night, seeing the goal that was scored that doesn't count, and thinking that nobody can do anything about that. You can't do anything about that.
No, I can't.
I know.
Absolutely.
You can just complain. Twitter. You can tweet about it.
Well, I know that I'm going to be here next month. Who knows where
you're going to come back strong?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
My job is to maintain. I'm not here to win. I'm just here to maintain.
Okay, well, we might end up having a really packed room because Connor wants back. We know we have to have Beeler. Rebecca wants back in now that she's the champ, and so it's Mark Smith, he was fun.
He was
and,
great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we might have to have him back, and Hathaway's coming back from Australia. I can blow him off, though. That doesn't matter.
Well, I got to tell you, I think there's some motivation for me this month for the next App Wednesday because yesterday I went, I spent an afternoon with my dad, and he has an iPhone 4, I believe. And I said, Dad, how many of these apps do you actually use? Because he only had a half dozen on his phone. And he says, what's an app? And he had no idea that my sister had been downloading some apps for him. And I said, what do you even use this phone for? And he says, the talking and the sometimes text. I don't understand why he's got an iPhone. But I showed him how to use a few things, and I got him onto the Mint app, and I got him onto Instagram, so he's got to learn how to Instagram. So he's on his way. So my dad is going to move into the 21st century.
Yeah, good luck with that, Art.
I know.
Good luck with that. That's going to work out well for you. Let's tell people what we have on the show. We've got a great show lined up today. Later on today, we're going to be talking about printers and toner cartridges and saving a ton of money in your printing. We're going to be super uber practical towards the end of today's episodes. But right now, I have in studio two special guests. I have Anna Marie Templeman Cluit.
Cluit.
She is Yo-Yo Mama. Can I just call you Yo-Yo Mama?
You totally can. My kids do.
Do they really? She is the creator of the Yo-Yo Mama website and also On the Go Kids, which I'm sorry you didn't win last week.
As far I know, as, it was quite an app. Upset.
Yeah, well, get over it. and that's because Mark didn't do a good job of explaining it.
It was fault.
It was. I would blame Mark for that. Anna Marie is here. And we also have Wahiba Chair, who is from Carrot Lines, which is a nutrition and food app. Now you guys have also launched your own website.
Yes, we have the foodwiki.ca,
foodwiki.ca.
Yes.
Which is all, and this is good, healthy, nutritional information. But I'm excited to have you both here because you're both entrepreneurs who have built both apps and websites. You've carved out niches for yourself in difficult areas, and you've both got visions for your product, which has caused them to become really successful. So I'm thinking we're just going to have a bit of a roundtable today, talking about your apps, talking about the journey and the development process of building these products, because I think this is a great opportunity for everybody to listen, because Everybody out there has an idea. Do you have an idea, Art?
Oh, I've got numerous ideas. I just don't have the wherewithal.
Do you have any good ideas?
Probably not.
Yeah.
It usually involves like some sort of bacon app, but I don't know how well.
A bacon?
It's very niche. It's very niche.
Bacon. Well, that would be a... That,
right, healthy back. Eating app.
Healthy bacon app.
Healthy bacon app.
For moms. Healthy bacon app.
For moms on the go.
For moms on the go. Yeah, okay.
Well, that was Atkins, wasn't it? Healthy bacon.
Yeah.
Just eat more bacon. It would be the way that you can go with that. At any rate. So let's begin. I'm going to begin with Anna Maria. How long ago did you establish your
website?
It's
going to be 6 years in June, which I can't believe, actually.
And so the idea behind your website, Yo-Yo Mama, was what?
Originally, it was a daily email for moms and in the Lower Mainland. So just ideas to make their life with kids easier.
Now, were you one of the original mommy bloggers then? Was that your thing?
No, I've never actually been a mommy blogger. They weren't really a thing when I started, and we were always just doing straight editorial. So we have a blog, but that's not sort of who I am.
Okay, yeah. So you started a newsletter.
Yeah.
And what at what stage in your personal life were you at that point? Did you have your kids yet?
Yeah, I had a 2-year-old and a 1-year, well, almost 3-year-old and an almost 1-year-old.
So that was 6 years ago. So that's now a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and any more since?
No, we're done.
Oh, that's that's nothing. You're just starting out. Jeez, I got 4. Okay, so you wanted to build a newsletter. Why?
I'd always wanted to do a daily newsletter, and I was doing web strategy and stuff at SFU before I had my kids. And when I had my oldest, I was getting all the American newsletters, but I couldn't go to the places, I couldn't buy the products, I couldn't do the events that they were talking about, go to the events they were talking about. So I'm like, I should do one for Vancouver. That's a good idea. And so I did.
So you built On the Go Kids, so and started it out as a newsletter. And how did you originally promote it?
Really organic. And, you know, there's nothing like the word of mom for spreading the word about things. It's kind of like, you know, if your friend tells you this is a great app, you're way more likely to believe them than if, you know, an ad tells you this is a great app. So it was organic. We went to baby shows. We went to fairs.
And you signed people up in your newsletter.
Signed people up. And then as social media kind of started to, like, Facebook became bigger and Twitter started. So we grew
Facebook
those.
Would have come along at the absolute perfect time.
It was exactly perfect time. Like, I joined Facebook because of my business. Now I also... like it personally, but it was like, I should do this. Everyone's here. I need to go here. So, and so we built up our social media. We cut back on the emails a little bit because email inbox volume has gotten so insane. So that if the idea is to make people's lives easier, we didn't want them going, oh, I've got so many emails. So we cut back on emails a bit. And then
because unsubscribing from a newsletter is even if it's not meant as a dismissal of your service, there's a negative connotation to I'm disengaging from that person.
I take it so personally because this is like my third baby. I have to make the people who work with me check why people unsubscribe so that if it's something really mean, I don't see it because I'm like, don't tell me the really mean stuff unless it's, you know, helpful feedback I can learn from.
And you still have your newsletter?
We still have our newsletter.
And how often does that go out?
It goes out 3 days a week now.
Well, 3 times a week. So where do you get the content for that?
You know, getting the content is the easiest part. There's always, people, now we've been around longer, people send us ideas, but we have lots of moms writing for us, so they'll be out, I found this great new coffee shop that's really stroller friendly and has a kids play area, or I found this great new app that helps you buy healthier. Like people, it's finding the ideas, I've always got stuff to write about.
Now, you don't have to tell me this, any more information than you want to, but did you grow organically or did you have investors? How did you build the business side of your...
It grew, like I had some investors in the beginning who helped me get the startup money, and then I paid them back. And then when we launched the app, I got more investment because that was a bigger...
That was a bigger expense of actually building the app. And the app is called On the Go Kids.
It is.
And it's Vancouver-centric still.
No, we actually have lists in Toronto, and we just launched Calgary last month.
Okay, and so when people download the app, does it use geolocation on the phone to figure out exactly where they are?
You can choose your city.
Well, you choose your city, so you're not invading their privacy too much at this particular
You can let it...
That will come later.
Yeah, exactly, as you're walking down the street. Hey, we're going to offer you a deal if you go into this coffee shop.
So you're 6 years into your business now, and you probably... this is internet year, so that's actually... It's like you've had a 60-year business. Because I think one year in the internet world is like...
I think it is,
So you've got a really mature business as far as that goes.
I'm very mature, yeah.
Let's look across the table at Wahiba here. And Carrot Lines is how old?
I'd say 3 years.
3 years you've been doing it. So half. So you're just a kid, a new kid on the block. So
I guess so, yes.
But you didn't start the same way. You started with an app as opposed to starting with a website. Mm-hmm. Now, and How do you describe Carrot Lines to people when they ask?
So we actually describe Carrot Lines now. It's more than just an app. It's a health and fitness, mobile, and social community. So we have, you know, a number of channels. Social, we have our app, and we have a website. That's the Food Wiki.
Okay.
So it's grown from just an app to a large community.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's community. And 3 years ago, why did you decide to start it?
So long story short, I was doing my MBA at SFU. I have an engineering background, so I've always been passionate about using technology in a positive way. Like I wasn't passionate about building the latest computers or the latest gadgets, and I have a passion for health. So I've always been trying to find ideas around health and technology. Mm-hmm. So when doing my MBA at SFU, it was a lot of talk around then about food labeling and issues surrounding that. And I picked up on that. And back in the day, BlackBerry was sort of market leader. It was, you know, the iPhone. There was no app channel to actually sell your apps. So I started thinking, wouldn't it be really cool if I could just take the product and scan the barcode and it would just tell me if it's a good product for me? And started doing a lot of market research at the time, which ended up being my thesis of my MBA, my final project.
Okay.
And that's how I took this research and sort of thesis into a real, you know, product and then business.
Okay, so I want to boil back to the basic, kind of the basic value proposition mm-hmm, that Carrot Lines mm-hmm. has. And that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is mm-hmm. if I install the app on my phone and I'm in a supermarket, I can now, rather than spending all the time, and I do actually read a lot of the labels, spending all that time, I can scan the barcode and access your database where you boil it down for me to whether or not this is good, bad, or neutral type thing?
Exactly. So we're all about, we believe healthy is such a subjective term. It means so many things for all of us.
Okay.
So we tell you exactly how that product meets your individual needs, which you can configure yourself in the app.
So if I am a person that tries to stay away from carbs mm-hmm. as much as possible, as I think most of the civilized world now has to, I'm not too sure. But so if I'm looking at that, do I put that in my profile as I sign
yes.
up for your app?
So the quick thing is like you would set up a profile. We already have default profiles set up by celebrity trainer Tommy Yura, but we
yes.
have profiles you can set up based on the things, let's see, low in fat, high in fiber, less sugar. And then you scan the product's barcode, goes into our database. And then you would say, hey, Steve, you know, this product meets 80% of your profile or 70% of your profile. And for you, it may be okay to eat it. Sometimes you may eat it in moderation. It's all about making informed choices.
Do you give me options that are better? Like if I scan in, like let's look at the worst part of the mm-hmm. aisle is quick snacks. So we go to the granola bar aisle, which I know from listening to you health conscious folks talk mm-hmm. that I might as well be eating a chocolate bar, which mm-hmm. I'm, by the way, okay with. I'm perfectly okay with not eating a chocolate bar, but I don't want to. So I scan. So if I pick up the Quaker one mm-hmm. and I scan it in, mm-hmm. does it say you might consider these other choices?
We have a section where you can look at other options. So it's a
okay.
browsing feature
okay.
where you can look at different options based on different attributes like less sugar, etc. So we have that as well.
So did any of the food companies have issues with you right mm-hmm. out of the gate?
It's a very good question because the first time we positioned our company and the product, it was more about we weren't trying to judge a specific brand. It's okay to have that occasional chocolate bar, whatever the brand may be. It's okay to have the chips that you like. I mean, it's all about moderation. That's what we believe in, and balance.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't actually position it as judging or sort of judging a lot of the food brands. So we started working with the brands. It was all about getting the information because there's actually no database in Canada today that has all this product information, which a lot of people think may exist.
Mm-hmm.
But
it
should exist, which is why we've been working really hard to create it. But Health Canada has several thousand products of more generic products, but there's no database of food products available in the grocery store with all the nutrition
yeah.
and attributes. So we've been building that from scratch and to 40,000 products.
40,000. And
mm-hmm.
are you doing that just manually? Do you just go in there and enter the data?
We have a number of ways we collect data. It's all our proprietary ways we developed over the years, part of which comes directly from the brands. We have retail partners that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
We also have third-party sources. And we have our users sending us a lot of pictures of products, and we ended up entering into the database.
Oh, so if I'm a user of your product
mm-hmm.
and I go into the store and there's a new product that...
It's
might be
there.
Just local in my
yes.
marketplace or
mm-hmm.
isn't there. And I scan it in, I can't find it. I then take a picture of it and it gives you all the nutritional information?
Gives you the picture, goes to our data team who will later enter into our database. And it goes by priority, so we look at the most requested products and that's how we prioritize adding products.
Is the labeling information that they're giving you, which is the, all the information that mm-hmm. you can really rely on, mm-hmm. is that in Canada, are we giving enough information?
I think the information is there. I think consumers are always looking for more information beyond just what's on the food label, which is why, because brands or companies are limited by the packaging, which is why in our app, you can scan the product. Brands have the ability to add more information beyond the packaging. For instance, you may have noticed a lot of brands adding social media icons, like a mm-hmm. Facebook and a Twitter. Yeah. But everyone is on Facebook and Twitter. They don't even have their handles typically on the packaging. So no typical consumer would go in there and type out, you know, like Nature's Path on Facebook and have to find it. No one has the time for that. So our app has a way when you scan it, has a brand page where you have all the social media icons, recipes, and more information beyond the packaging that the brand wants to convey.
So you are actually working with the brands. Mm-hmm. Somebody like, so if I take a picture of...
Holy Crap cereal, let's say.
Oh, Holy Crap cereal.
It's one of our brands.
That's a thing.
It's a good cereal. I saw them. They were on Dragon's Day.
They were a great company to work with.
So if I take a picture mm-hmm. of the barcode there, it's going to give me, and I know already. See, the problem is that's an unfair example because we know that's a healthy cereal. I'm going to take a picture of Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to come, are there going to then be offered to me recipes that I can make healthier choices, with healthy snacks with Rice Krispies?
Yes, so ultimately every product, I mean, people buy products based on taste, budget, and like the health component is a big component nowadays growing. Mm. So everyone would like to buy the healthiest product all the time. Sometimes they can't afford it. So there is always a balance that everyone has within their families, right? Anna Marie probably knows a lot about that.
Like my child won't eat that, so I have to buy
exactly.
Rice Krispies.
So you have to find a balance. You can't buy 100% healthy product all the time. Like, so the people, consumers can have access, shoppers can have access to, you know, different ideas and they can incorporate that product into their smoothies or their daily recipes. And for example, you buy a lot of spices and a lot of times they have recipes you can read on the packaging. But with mm-hmm. our app, you can just find a lot of times they have basically we close the gap between the online world and the packaging. They would have a lot of information on their website, which is recipes and coupons sometimes. And it's just not conveyed at the point of sale.
Do you sometimes worry that that people will be intimidated by the breadth of the offering that you're putting into your app, by so many different options, and can I get lost in it? Is what I'm asking.
For the users?
Yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
I actually don't think, because we are monitoring the usage of the app, the key usage of the app remains to be, you know, the core value proposition is helping you make healthier choices. So mm-hmm. it's all about scanning. We've just expanded into browsing. So knowing what you buy before you grocery shop and making your shopping list, everything, a lot of the features around it are secondary. And we know that people are responding to that, asking us to add more of it. And we do monitor it closely. So,
well, I think it's true, because I have developed the habit, and I am like everybody mm-hmm. else trying to eat healthier. Mm-hmm. I developed the habit of reading all of the labels mm-hmm. and I do read the labels now, but I don't know what I'm reading anymore. I get confused. So having it deciphered mm-hmm. for me, that has to be a benefit. Plus the fact I can walk around with my phone and take pictures of things, that's just cool.
It's a tool. I mean, there's a lot of information out there about how to read the food label, and the thing we're trying to create a practical tool that just does that instead of just telling people how, it just does it for you. It
sounds like partnerships are really important with mm-hmm. you. So you're selecting some food partners, but you also mm-hmm. have Tommy Europe that's involved. Now, Tommy used to be a safety with the BC Lions, I think Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a former football player. How does he fit in this whole thing?
Tommy is a celebrity trainer behind the app, meaning he fits into a number of ways. It's Carrot Lines powered by Tommy Europe, as in the new app we just released in February. He's developed some profiles, that help people make healthier choices by default. So if you're looking for losing weight or bulking up or healthy eating, based on 20 years of experience into the fitness industry, he's developed these profiles that help people do that.
Oh, so he helps you with your shopping list?
He helps you with your shopping list. So instead of you creating a profile from scratch, you could just use one of Tommy's profiles.
Good.
Which is
Art
easy.
And I can bulk up, finally.
It's like shopping with Tommy. Exactly. You guys can
I'm halfway there. I don't know if you've noticed my physique.
But you were hiding from Tommy at the social media camp. Which we won't say.
No, you can say it here. Here's what happened in the social media camp. Tommy Europe came over and he made all the geeks work out one morning, right?
Yes.
And it sounded so awful. Because we're talking about it all the day before. No, because we had been partying the night before. Okay. I'd rolled in at like 2:15 in the morning. I'd been hanging out with a bunch of geeks. Now, I don't hit it very hard. I don't drink very much or anything like that. But still, I rolled into bed around 2:15 in the morning. And now it's like, it was 8:45 or 8:30 in the
morning.
Well,
it was 8:08.
And you're in your street clothes, and Tommy Europe's going to make you sweat. I'm just going, no.
That didn't quite make you sweat, but people really enjoyed. We did some squatting and showed
squatting.
Up. Squatting.
Yeah,
they demonstrated some push-ups on stage.
Yes. Well, Tommy's a fine-looking man. He's a good-looking specimen. I understand why you got him on there. And he did the things about stretching. And dealing with, and I noticed that, you know, my body is collapsing upon itself because of how much time I spend at the keyboard.
Exactly.
So that's it would have been good.
Well, you can actually find a lot of those videos in the app. So Tommy has his own section within the app where you can find a lot of his exclusive nutrition and fitness video content.
That sounds pretty good. I think we got to take a break, but we're going to come back. We got lots more to talk about. We're going to try and get some dialogue going back between you two. We'll get fitness for kids. And games. We can get games for you. Maybe we can work it out. Yeah, we'll try. I'm Steve Dotto, and you are tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Do you have a comment or a question for Dotto Tech?
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
In studio with me, two of Vancouver's finest entrepreneurs. We have Wahiba Chair, who is you're the founder of Carrot Lines. And we have Anna Maria Templeton-Kuit, who is the founder of Yo-Yo Mama.
I am.
And I have to, why Carrot Lines? Why the name?
The branding came up out of reality TV. I did it in the Middle East in Qatar called Stars of Science. And we tried to come up with something icon that has healthy eating and a barcode with scanning. So Lines was the barcode icon and then the carrot was the healthy icon. So Carrot Lines.
Okay.
A lot of people ask that actually.
Because it sounds like a very skinny person. So you want you the silhouette, you
want
to have carrot lines.
Stripes.
Carrot That's
line.
Right.
You know, vertical
carrot
stripes.
Lines. Well, I like carrots. Healthy eating carrots. Anne-Marie, I have to ask you about On the Go Kids. How long has the app been out?
Just over a year.
It's just over a year. Yeah. So, and it's now in three major North American centers, Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so this summer will be when you really start to see the accelerated
because,
use of it,
because we launched Toronto last fall and then just Calgary last month.
Okay. So, the app itself is what to do with your kids.
Yeah, so we kind of curate information on all the family-friendly events happening around town. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's so valuable is because it's actually really hard to find that information. You might go to that website, but you don't go to that website.
Or, yes.
You know, that guy has stuff, but you don't know that guy has stuff.
It's also when you have time to browse.
Exactly.
Like, I'm thinking that, correct me if I'm wrong, but remembering back into the old days when I had little weans, and we would be at the mall or we would be someplace where we were trying to keep them. They were playing. They were just sitting there at the water park. And I would sit there and read a book. Moms now sit there with their apps and they try and figure out what to do with their kids. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would rather leave my house without my wallet than my phone.
I had my wallet stolen out of my pocket. And so I bought a wallet with a phone.
I have my eye on that case, actually. I've had my eye on that case.
Yes, because it's got my credit cards on one side. Because I never lose my phone.
Nope.
I never walk away without my phone. And I'll go back home to get my phone.
Yeah.
I won't go back, but I never have to because I've always got it. I've forgotten my wallet at home. So
you can always call someone to bring you your wallet, but you can't use your wallet to get them to bring you your phone.
Doesn't it work that way?
You can buy another phone and then call.
Yeah, it's
so,
true.
So our research process has changed slightly.
Yeah.
And
you'll be sometimes you're home on a rainy Saturday and you've got a 2-year-old, like, we have to get out of the house. What can we do? I don't want to go to the same old place over again. So we sort of have all the things that are happening and you can find different stuff. And so we spend a lot of time curating that information.
It's not just the big stuff then.
No, we do from little fairs, community fairs, we do not big sales, but, you know, if someone's small stuff, big stuff, we try and get a lot of free stuff, festivals, mm-hmm. one-off events. We do, it's all sort of one-off stuff. We don't have the bandwidth to put in every single story time at the library.
Yeah,
are more in your consciousness.
Well, also the local newspaper takes care of a lot of those sorts of things as well. And that's one thing we are blessed with in BC for sure. Not so much in the rest of the country, but our local newspers are really vibrant
great.
And strong
yeah.
here. Not so much. The rest of the country is okay, but not like they are in BC. For some reason,
Vancouver,
they're really strong.
We're good for that.
Yeah. Okay. So the now, is the app just really for mom and dad to look at stuff, or can kids browse around in it too and help find stuff?
I guess kids could. They're more likely to be. You're more likely to say, "Do you want to go to this?" and show them that, and that's as opposed to them. I haven't actually ever heard of kids using it. I should probably test it on my own kids. That's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe not. And what about social media component? Because social media is everything now. You must have some plans for social media in it.
Yeah, right from within. If I find an event, I'm like, "Hey, I should see if Steve and his kids want to meet us there." I can tweet you from within there. I can email you. I can text you, or I can put it out onto my Facebook or whatever I'm going
so
to.
So you help publicize the event that way.
Yeah.
So do the events that are the events all reaching out to you and giving you the information?
Some
on
are,
it?
And some we find on our own. Like more and more now, especially bigger people. But some of the smaller stuff we find that by ourselves.
And are there some that are promoted that you promote actually?
Yeah, you can choose because we run our email comes out with our event listings on Thursday, and it's everything happening for the following week. Because if we started listing months and months of stuff, it would be this huge email. So if you want to promote something farther ahead of time, for instance, the Children's Festival is coming up, the Vancouver International Children's Festival. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with them when their ticket sales started and stuff to let people know that was coming up.
And are you allowing registration right from within the app? Is there
you can buy
stuff
tickets.
Within?
There's a link to buy tickets right from within.
And for coupons and stuff, for discounts for different events and that sort of stuff?
See, I think people should be using it for that, but they haven't yet.
Oh, so your customer. So who's not using it? The people using the app? There are coupons available? Or
no,
the
people who are promoting their events.
They aren't
us?
Giving you coupons? They
no.
aren't giving you discounts?
No.
What are they thinking?
I don't know.
Let's talk to somebody.
I know. There's lots of great opportunities still, right?
So it seems to me that would be the ideal way. You know, users.
And like mobile, there's mobile couponing opportunities, which I think are
absolutely
going to be huge.
Barcodes. And yeah. I mean, I use Eventbrite and stuff for like registering for events and having those automatic barcodes for scanning people in and registering them. You should be all over that.
I know. You know about scanning.
How do you deal with that?
For example, we do a number of like the health shows, for example, one of the biggest events that we do, and we'd always typically have like a 2-for-1 coupon on our blog, and it's all across our social media, and it's also within our app. So typically the events have something if you work with them, or they want to have, at least for the health and fitness events that we work with.
Now, now you are just growing nationally. I'm talking now about On The Go Kids, but your product from the get-go is a national product, am I right?
It's a national product, yes.
Is there a difference? Do you listen to what's going on with the On The Go Kids and try and figure out ways that lessons you can learn about building yourself in a smaller marketplace?
I think there's a lot to learn from so many different, other online businesses or app companies, because it's all just new and trying to figure it out. I think On The Go Kids seems like such a great app because it has to be local because it's all about events, etc. But we do, for us, it's, having even national people still may have different, food sort of habits in different places. So we always get the odd people who go like, I'm shopping in this really small market in Quebec City and I'm not finding XY product, because we don't know as much about the hit rate as we do in Western Canada, which is the healthier sort of part of the country where a lot of our users are.
Are you bilingual?
I am bilingual, yes.
Not you personally. Is your app bilingual?
Our app is not bilingual yet.
What about yours?
No, not well. We don't. But maybe when we're in Quebec, we might.
Yeah, when you go to Quebec, because that's a big decision point at that point.
Yeah, I think when you grow big enough and you feel the need, that definitely you should do that.
Is there a danger with your relationships to focus too much or focus more on one grocery chain? That's kind of. I'm thinking, in Canada, we've got five big ones. And you're probably in bed with the smallest of those big ones. Am I correct?
We have both small and larger brands, actually.
Okay.
We work with both because we want to make sure everyone has their different, a lot of people, let's say, shop at the independent health store. So those are typically easier to work with because, we would share information more easily versus the big ones. There's only a few of them, but we've done some work with a lot of some of the other big ones as well in terms of allowing us to have more data coverage in their store. So we try to have a balance to make sure we have enough product from like the major products people buy versus the small niche places and the independent health stores.
Just out of curiosity, how big is each of your staffs, like the full-time staff that's working?
I work with about 10 different contractors, some of whom are almost full-time and some of whom are part-time writers.
So you're completely outsourced and you deal with contractors, so there's about 10.
It's actually smaller than that for us. We're actually very small, so may not look like this on the outside. But I have two people who are more or less full-time, and then we work with, you know, our technical team, mostly consultants and contractors who are being long-term with the company.
Yeah. I should know this. Are you both just on iPhone, or are you cross-platform?
We are on iPhone only right now, but we've just launched our site, which is mobile friendly, so it works across all platforms.
Okay.
And we made the decision to do iPhone only first because 98% of our audience was accessing our content through an iDevice.
Really?
But that's really changed in the last year, so the next thing we'll be doing is an Android version. Same thing, all our events we have a mobile calendar on the site that's accessible whatever you're using.
With whatever, exactly.
But it's really been interesting to see that change, that switch to Android.
Give me a quick overview of what the Food Wiki is.
The Food Wiki is the community when you can talk about all the foods in your life, basically. It's got the largest database of Canadian food products. We've got over 40,000 products, 2,000 brands, and you can find a lot of the brands sold in Canadian supermarkets today by searching or browsing by key attribute or keyword. Let's say you're looking for a gluten-free pasta. You can type it in like in Google. You get all the different options that you can, and you look at the product, all the details. You can look at the brand information, where to buy it. You can buy it online if it's available, get a coupon. So it's basically an endless world of food product information where not only you have information from the brand, but also you can contribute and rate the product, give it a carrot rating, and then you can leave a comment. So basically helping people make choices based on, you know, it could be a really healthy looking product, but it tastes really bad. So you would want to know that. And that's a big thing that, you know, a lot of it, it's a big bargain because you spend a lot more money typically buying healthier products, and you want to know how it tastes ahead of time. So
just for clarification, you can buy healthy food that tastes good. Did you know this, Art?
There was a rumor out there. I thought I saw it somewhere on Twitter, but
or is it just bad and worse?
It's a myth. It's a myth.
And then you could take those healthy foods, you can batter them and deep fry them.
And then
if you wanted
taste
to.
Excellent.
If you wanted to.
Well, what's a healthy food for you, Steve, for example? I'd like to know.
I like Greek salad.
Okay.
Is that it? But, you know, but then but I feel good because the peppers are coming from Mexico.
But would you put a lot of olive oil on your Greek salad?
I put some olive oil. I put a little bit of olive oil. I put a little bit of olive oil. I put a little bit of balsamic vinegar. Mm. I put some feta cheese. Mm-hmm. And I like a little bit of tzatziki in it. I like to mix it up.
Well, I'm sure, like, if I look at the calorie content of your salad, it may be a little bit high. But at the end of the day, if you're enjoying it, it's all about balance, right? It's all about balance.
It's not
as long as you get that workout with
PJ.
PJ.
Yeah, PJ. Remember PJ on the show?
Go Fit Gals.
Yeah, she's Go Fit Gals now, and she's one of the ambassadors for Carrot Line, so she's probably listening right now and cursing me.
Go Fit Gals are great. They have been really, really great, and they've got a great thing going, and they've been really good at promoting healthy eating within their community. So
yeah, she does. She does a good job.
So you're gonna be hiding from her.
I hide from everybody that's fit.
and Tommy.
And I'm gonna have to hide from Art if I don't break. We're gonna take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
In studio, I am sitting with Wahiba Cher, who is the founder of Carrot Lines and the foodwiki.ca, and with Anna Maria Templeton-Kuit, who is Yo-Yo Mama. Now, both of you, I believe, your growth and your success has to come from your user community at the end of the day. You need a community. And Amory, you've got events now that are happening in Toronto, that are happening in Calgary, and I imagine you'll be rolling out other Canadian cities. So you have to engage with the community in all of those marketplaces.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Wahiba, you have a product where I know that if I go into the market in Toronto, there's different products on the shelves. So you both have users that are spread across the whole, and it's your engagement with them that's going to ultimately determine whether you're successful or not. How do you go about growing that? How do you go about engaging with your audience?
We found it really important to have a writer in each city, especially for their event research, because I know and you know where the Peony is, but I don't know if I'm looking at something in Toronto, if everybody knows where that place is. So you need...
Yeah.
And then the writers that we've worked with are very social, networky, engaged kind of people with their own kind of communities. And then we partner with other brands that are maybe similar audiences but not competitors, and we help spread the word. A lot of it's been quite organic that way, but mm-hmm. And it's just finding it's. And then also I've been you have to go there sometimes. Like I've been to Toronto. You have to go there sometimes.
Yes.
I had to go to Toronto, and we'll be going to Calgary in the fall and meeting people and spreading the word that way and stuff. And we have, you know, stuff, collateral we can give people, like our cards and stuff like that to hand out.
It's one of the things I always say when people are talking about their web presence is, you know, the internet is, in the online world, is this vast, massive, completely impersonal space, which is just enormous beyond comprehension. But every connection is intensely personal.
Yeah.
When somebody clicks on your site, when somebody launches your app, that's a one-on-one connection, and you're with that person because you have their attention, and they're tactily and completely engaged with you. So there's this dichotomy between this massive mm-hmm. sea,
yeah.
These tiny little intense, incredibly brief personal connections, and establishing and invalidating their time spent with you. Those are issues that I think all developers have to pay very close attention to.
I think so. I mean, we get, like, often our readers write back, oh, you got this information wrong, or did you know about this event? And I got this email message, I'm a real editor, and I noticed there was a spelling mistake. And I'm like, you know, this kind of sucks, but I love that you actually took the time to email me and point it out. Like, you care enough about me or what I'm doing to let me know. Like, so, and you know what? It's good to know that I need to fix that spelling mistake.
Yeah, I get a lot of those. A lot of spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
And the last question that I have is, what is success going to look like 2 years down the road? We've only got a couple minutes left. So a year and a half down the road, what do you want On the Go Kids and Yo-Yo Mama to look like?
I want to be in a lot more cities, and I want to be spending a lot less time working. So fewer work days, but bigger.
For you.
For me.
See, that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, no,
I'm telling you right now that
that's dream.
A fantasy. That's a fantasy. What's the future look like for Carrot Lines and for the Food Wiki?
We are Canadian right now, very proud to be. We'd like to have, obviously, Carrot Lines in the hands of way more Canadians nationally, obviously continue to grow that, and potentially launch in other countries as well. We have a lot of fans in other, you know, parts of the world, Europe and the U.S., and, you know, that's something we'll be looking at also in the future.
That's interesting. I wonder what would be more successful for you. I wonder whether Europe would be more successful, where they are a little more health conscious.
They are more health conscious. We've also got a lot of fans in the Middle East.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a virgin market there, because it's a lot. There's just products just starting to get there. People are just starting to learn a little bit more about, you know, health and nutrition, trying to make those healthier choices. Ultimately, the partnerships for us that are local are going to determine our spread to those areas.
Got it. So two tremendous local success stories that I think we should all, if you haven't taken a look at, I'm pretty sure that everybody listening will want to engage with one or the other or both of these products. The first is Carrot Lines, which is available they're both available as iOS apps, soon to be on other platforms. Carrot Lines you can find at the App Store or go to thefoodwiki.ca. And Yo-Yo Mama is the website, and On the Go Kids is the iOS app for Anna Maria's site. So I have to thank you both very much for spending time with us today. We'll keep our eye on it.
Thank you for having us.
It was great, and it was great to see you again.
Yes, I know Anna Maria from a while ago, so it was nice to connect again live.
Maybe a group hug is
off the record.
Yeah.
With art.
Thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of Dottotech in just a few seconds.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
You know, the one thing that still drives me crazy is buying ink for my inkjet printer. It gets just too expensive sometimes. I just go crazy. And the problem with inkjet ink is I don't print all the time, and it dries up. And so does that ever happen to you, Art?
I usually just print stuff from work. That's how I get away with it.
Smart man.
Frugal. But,
well, I'm thinking about moving over to a laser printer, and so I brought in the expert. I brought in my expert on all things printer related. Amin Lahijani joins me. How are you doing, Amin?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Amin is with ToneRParts.com. You guys basically just sell consumables for printers. That's really all you do, right?
Correct. Basically, about over 5,000 products in stock in entire Canada.
But you concentrate on toner cartridges, and to a lesser extent, to inkjet cartridges.
Correct. That's right.
Like that. So the main thing is toner. Now, back in the day, laser printers were phenomenally expensive, but the prices come down. That in most ways now, it's probably cheaper than inkjet.
Oh yeah. Well, the reason behind that is before, like in about a few years ago, you would get a laser printer for like about $800 or $900.
Oh, I can even remember more. I sold my first. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The first Apple laser writer that I sold, I can still remember. It was 1987.
Yeah.
I sold an Apple laser writer one. You're sitting down. I can see you're sitting down.
Yeah.
The price? Guess. See if you can guess.
$1,700.
I laugh at you. $1,700 wouldn't even get you the box. It was $5,350.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, wow. That was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, that was crazy, huh?
Yeah. And in those days, a cartridge at $300 mm-hmm. did not seem particularly expensive because the printer itself was...
Yeah.
Nearly $6,000.
Exactly. So what these larger companies, what they did, they changed the way that they look at the thing. So they sell you the printer almost at the cost. Sometimes they don't make any money on it, right? But when you go back to purchase the toner cartridges, that's the time that it's going to be a bit more expensive. So people are not used to pay $300 anymore for the toner cartridge because the printer was only like $100, right?
Yeah, so how do you do it? Yeah. So the laser technology that we looked at was all, of course, monochrome laser. But now we have a choice of getting color laser printers. And I haven't even looked recently. What is the price points of color laser printers?
Well,
who are the top manufacturers these days?
Well, the color laser printers, it can go up to about $20,000 still, but that's a larger perspective that you're looking at it. So Lexmark, Xerox, Brother, HP. So when it goes down, the HP and Brother are the most affordable ones, and then when you go higher up, it's a Lexmark, Okidata, Sharp, and Xerox. Basically, those are the ones that most of the pharmaceutical companies or larger companies are working with. Right?
Okay. So what's the baseline? So for a small business, for a small office, a home office, what can I buy a printer for? Can I buy one for $350, $400?
Even less than that. Right?
Really?
You can get a multifunction laser color printer, LED quality, which is about 2400 DPI by 600 DPI for $250.
Okay.
Or $199 in some. That's a multifunction fax, scanner, copier, and printer. Right?
Okay.
And that has a availability of the iPhone or Android usability as well, so you can download
the
program.
Let's talk about, so the consumables then for those are obviously toner cartridges. How many prints do people get out of a toner cartridge?
Well, depending on the model of the cartridge that you get, somewhere around 1,500 is the minimum baseline, and it goes all the way to 7,000 to 8,000 per cartridge.
So it sounds to me like the minimum number of prints you get from a laser cartridge is close to what the maximum number you're going to get from an inkjet cartridge.
Oh, it's about the maximum number. Yeah.
Oh, good heavens. And what about the price for the laser cartridges? Because now it's not the cost of the device, it's the cost
exactly.
of the consumable.
Well, you got to be very careful about when you're purchasing the printer, because the newer printers out there, the cost of the cartridges are really, really expensive still by the time that there is, like, you know, they come into the market. So you're looking at probably, if it's a laser color, you're looking about minimum of the original products we're talking about, minimum of about $80 or $100 per.
That's and then you need four.
Cheap. Yeah, so and you need four of them.
So you'd be looking at basically paying the same prices you paid for the printer every time you replace the cartridge.
More than that, yeah.
Now, and you say the new ones. That's because you folks, you do sell the original manufacturers.
Correct, yes.
But you also sell, what do you call the...
Generic.
Generic.
Yes.
That's the nice term.
Brand
generic.
New
it's like
compatible,
generic drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Brand new compatible generic toner cartridges.
Okay.
So the patent is our own patent. There's nothing, no conflict between the original or generics. It's the same yield or same quality as the original.
Now, these are not drill and fill. You aren't taking existing toner cartridges,
not at all.
Refilling them. Because that, of course, has been part of the inkjet industry for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're doing as well, though. I think people are kind of catching on that they aren't.
The problem with refilling these days is there are two things. First of all, they put the little electronic chip on each of these larger cartridges. Mm-hmm. So regardless of if you have full toner or you have no toner, if that chip it hits the number of the pages that it reads, it burns out. So it doesn't matter, like, you know, if you refill it, you cannot use it because that chip is not allowing
you
to.
Okay, so it's got a fail-safe kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is no point of us refilling stuff when we can sell the brand new generic ones for much cheaper.
So who manufactures the generic ones?
It comes directly from Toner Parts from China.
Okay, so you have them built over there. And are they really from the same basic factories as the ones that are building for the manufacturers, or are they?
They are different factory, but same powder. LG powder is being using in every single of the compatible ones inside.
So the actual powder that is being fused onto the paper, it's the same as what you're getting from the original manufacturers. And what about the design of the cartridge itself? Did you guys have to re-engineer them?
Correct.
Is that why there's this delta between the amount of time that when a new product comes out and with their design cartridges,
correct,
you guys are there?
Correct, yes. So the design is a bit different. It slides in smoothly, exactly like the original products. However, what happens is the design of each cartridge is a bit different for just protecting our own company.
Do people with the newer printers, will they be getting warnings coming up saying that that the cartridges are not original manufacturers or any of that sort of stuff?
Not at all.
Okay, because that'll sometimes happen if you have older cartridges or I guess with the inkjet world.
Correct.
We get that.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons that I like the idea of switching over to laser, and I've been giving it a lot of thought, is I've had inkjet forever. And I love the quality of inkjet. Inkjet has a certain texture. Laser prints are pretty close to the same quality. You don't quite get the same texture all the time that you get from ink, though, do you?
Well, this is what the controversy is about, right?
Yeah.
People think that the inkjet cartridges are better quality, better resolution, but they're not, right? When it comes to a newer laser toner cartridges, especially color LEDs that the brother came up with, right? Mm-hmm. The quality of the print is 2400 by 2400 DPI. With the inkjet cartridges, you only get somewhere around maximum 600 by 600 DPI.
But it's not always just resolution, though, right? Because the ink is also sprays and spreads to a certain extent and fills. So for photos that you're going to keep, inkjet. I'm at least assuming inkjet still has a little better pop. But for business documents, that's really where I think that the laser.
Correct.
Well,
laser,
forward.
Of course, laser is mostly for most of the larger businesses,
yeah, yeah.
Right? But yet again, there are a few inkjets that are still really, really good for printing on photos. Like Epson inkjets are still amazing to do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The cost of the cartridges, you have to purchase the original ones, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then there are about 8 of them inside, and each of them are minimum about $40 or $50 only for a few hundred pages, right?
Yeah.
And you can print a very, very nice pictures on the glossy paper with some of the laser jets. They're a bit more higher end. So
yeah,
you're looking at about $500 range of the prices for the printers up to about $2,000. Those ones are better quality than the inkjet still.
Okay, so that's if you are into photos. So the same kind of price ranges you're going to be paying for a high-end inkjet printer at that point. Now, for business documents, though, as far as text goes, the crispness of laser text, I mean, you really can't beat that. And for printing on plain paper, for that sort of thing.
Well, I'd say about 99% of our customers are switching to laser, even for printing on home bases, offices, or smaller offices.
Well, here's where it appeals to me in the home base office. And it doesn't come down to quality, because, you know, which maybe it should, but it doesn't in my case. It comes down to convenience. I don't print every day. I sometimes don't print for several weeks at a time. If I don't print with an inkjet printer for several weeks, the inkjet printer doesn't work anymore.
No, the ink will get dried.
It's
a simple law of physics, right? This liquid will get dried because of the head of the print and each of these inkjets will get clotted up because the ink is not going
in yet. Yeah.
Exactly.
So as long as if you're printing on a regular basis, you won't have that same
no.
issue. But with a laser printer, you can wait for as long as you want.
You can leave it for 2 years and then come back and still same quality because it's powder.
And it also prints faster.
Much faster. The slowest one in the market does about 20 pages per minute. The fastest inkjet does about 15 pages per minute.
So now your cartridges, the cost savings over the original manufacturers, what sort of price are we looking at? How much money are you looking at saving?
About 70% cheaper than the original manufacturer because we believe in cutting the middleman directly from manufacturer to the end user. We don't resell to larger retailers to market up. So we believe that you shouldn't have to pay $100 for a cartridge that the printer only costs you $70. Like, let's say, for example, take two cartridges, Q2612A in Staples is about $100. The original manufacturer is about $100. We sell it for $16.95 online.
$16.
Holy $17.
Cow.
Correct.
For the and that's for a Lexmark printer.
No, that's for HP printer.
Oh, for HP printer. Okay.
Yeah, and that's about 3,000 pages yield.
Okay.
Yeah, so cents per page is way below 1 cent.
So the place that you go to look this up is tonerparts.com, and we'll put a link in our site. And actually, you're giving us a favor. For any of our listeners, you're going to give free shipping, are you?
Of course, yeah. It's $7 flat rate shipping for anywhere in entire Canada for everybody is free.
How long does it take to get them?
Depending on where they're located, because we have 4 different locations throughout Canada, mm-hmm. it takes about somewhere between 1 to 5 business days
okay,
maximum.
To get them. And if you just go through, you've got a really nice database that it makes it really easy to find if you...
It's very simple.
I have to ask you, what are your favorite printers right now? Like if your buddy comes up and says, I want to buy a printer that's in the cheapest printer I can get that's the best bang for the buck, what are you telling him?
Brother.
Seriously?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
They come back up really, really, really good. Like HP fall down.
Because your brother, we used to kind of laugh at him.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Back then, the brother was a bit of a laugh. But right now, they come up with such an amazing line of product with the lowest prices that you could ever find in the market. They outbeat HP in every single way.
Okay. So, and I can get a brother color laser printer for...
Multifunction yeah. color laser printer for $200.
Oh, gee, that's crazy.
I know.
Crazy. You're talking crazy. Now, what if I want something a little higher end,
okay.
and I want to move up from that, from the lowest end, which I'm surprised to hear HP and Brother are at the lowest end.
Correct.
And that's based on the price. But they also have mid-range.
Yes.
What about a mid-range? Like if I have $500 to $600 to spend,
I would definitely go for a Lexmark.
Lexmark, okay.
Lexmark, because Xerox will go much more than that. And the Lexmark, what they did is basically they tried to cut down the price of the printers to come and compete with the people in the mid and higher range level.
Okay.
So they literally sell you the printer at cost.
Oh, okay.
And then
so you're getting more bang for your buck as far as the
very,
Lexmark goes.
Like, they're best quality out there for the price that you pay on the medium to higher end is going to be Lexmark.
And all of these printers now are great for networking. So if you have them in a house and you have it on a wireless network, you can set up so that everybody can print to it comfortably mm-hmm. from a Mac or PC mm-hmm. or even from your iPhone and stuff
right.
like that.
Well,
right?
So the good thing about Brother is they come up with something called DN, which is double duplex or double-sided networking on every single printer that you buy from them. Mm-hmm. That this is the standard option that comes with it. As of like duplex is like super expensive if you go through HP, right?
Yeah, you have to buy a duplexing head. You have to buy
exactly.
a separate attachment
exactly.
that plugs
Brother
into the
comes with it. Even the $99 printers, it comes with a new duplex.
So duplexing, for the listeners that don't know, that means printing on both sides of the page, reducing
same
your consumable costs and being more environmentally mm-hmm. friendly.
You don't have to hand feed it twice. Right? It goes back and forth. It does it itself.
And it prints it. And yeah, you got to pay attention to collation and stuff. But yeah,
yeah,
good stuff. Okay, so the website to go to is, once again, it is tonerparts.com. I'd love to hear feedback from people who try it out and see if it works for them. Certainly, I think it has the potential of saving our listeners a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Free shipping if you put the code DottoTech and you do that at checkout, and that'll give you some free shipping. My guest has been Amin Lahijani.
There we go, Lahijani.
You couldn't just be Amin Smith, could you?
You can call me Amin Smith if you want.
Yeah, as long as you buy toner cartridges. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Steve.
That was a busy show, Art.
Yes, not as busy maybe as we should be now. We realize health conscious wise and kids wise.
Well, you don't have any kids.
I know, but
are you going to have kids?
I think I might.
Do you want to have kids?
Yes. Well, now that
do you have nieces and nephews?
I do a lot, and I'm going to tell them about the Yo-Yo Mama app.
With the On the Go Kids. You should download it too, and Uncle Art should be taking his nieces and nephews out to cool spots.
But then I won't have an excuse for things.
For not taking them?
Exactly.
Art.
Covered my butt.
Tomorrow, in case anybody still has no plans for tomorrow when they're listening to the show, is our big Protectivity workshop in West Vancouver. You can get information about it at protectivity.ca. It's going to be awesome.
Hollyburn
Country Club. What are you doing tomorrow?
I have to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I come up with that sweet bacon app I was talking about and make millions off it. And then I'll just be coming in for fun.
Art's bacon app. Everybody loves bacon.
Everyone does.
Everybody loves bacon. That's all the time we have for this week's show. My thanks to all of my guests and to Art and to you folks for spending your evening with us. I'm Steve Dotto. We will see you next week right here on DottoTech.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.